Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, good evening. It's good to see all of you. All right, so y'all just have to bear with me, okay? This is really new to me, but the Lord's got it, right? All right, so when Pastor Spencer had a message and asked if I would speak, I can tell you that my heart sunk. I was like, oh, yikes. But I began to pray about it, and the Lord brought back to my remembrance that I'm always saying, Lord, more of you and less of me. I want more of you and less of me. Well, that caused me to be uncomfortable. So when he brought that back to me, I knew that that was confirmation that the answer was yes. So I let him know yes, and then I began praying and asking the Lord what I needed to speak on. And I felt like the Lord dropped in my spirit faith, so he took me to Matthew chapter 8. And when he gave me faith, I felt like there was something else to it. And so as I kept praying, never really got anything, and I thought, well, maybe there's nothing else. So I put a little tag at the end of it that I thought would fit well. Well, then we went to put it on slides, and I looked at it and was like, no, we're going to take that off. And it's like the Lord instantly hit me in my spirit and put, it's a game changer. And I thought, okay, nice. I like that. So that's what that is. This is what the message is going to be, is faith is a game changer. All right, so if you would, just turn to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read verses 5 through 10 and then verse 13. I apologize. I thought I had my Bible turned there, but I don't. All right. Okay, so this is talking about the centurion's servant. It says, now when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And as I say, this one go, and he goes, and to another come, he comes, and to my servant do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And then I'm going to go down to verse 13. And it says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So I would like to pray, and then I'll jump in. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Lord, I just pray, God, that you will prepare the hearts of the people, that God, as I speak, that it'll be your words and not mine. And God, that the seeds will fall on good ground. And Lord, that this will be something that they can take, and that it will be, the message will come across clearly, and that they can take this and apply this to their life. And I thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. As I started reading that, there was a few things that stuck out to me, but first I wanted to give you, I looked up the definition, just the basic definition of what is faith. And so it comes up and it was complete trust or confidence in someone or something, a strong belief in God, an understanding, a grasp, or rather than proof. And then, of course, in Hebrews 11:1, it tells us that now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So as I was reading about the centurion man's faith, I mean, obviously his faith was great because Jesus said that he was marveled by it. So if he gave us that, if he told us that he was marveled, that he marveled at his faith, then that's a big deal. All right. So, and I felt like that those definitions, when I, you know, just the basic definition and then what the Bible says about faith, that it definitely reflects the centurion man, because he had an understanding and a grasp of who Jesus was before he ever even healed his servant. Because he come to him and he told him, you know, Lord, I need, you know, my servant is paralyzed and tormented. And Jesus said that he would come to him. He said, I'll go and I'll heal him. And he said, no, I'm not worthy that you go, you know, that you come under my roof, but just speak a word. So to me, that showed that his faith, he had an understanding of the power that Jesus held and who he was. And then I thought it was, like in the story, he didn't hesitate either to ask. Like, he did it with confidence, like, no, Lord, you just speak a word and it'll be done. And I want to focus on verse 8 for just a second. It says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. So here again, his level of faith demonstrated his understanding of Jesus, that he had the ability to heal his servant from a distance without Jesus even physically being there. And then I want to focus on verse 9 as well. And it said, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And I feel like the centurion man used his position of authority to express his belief in Jesus. And I also thought it was really cool that I felt like his understanding of that Jesus' power, like it carried great power, his words, because he did say, just speak a word. And I feel like our perspective, this is where I kind of, maybe this will start making sense. I feel like our perspective of how God, of our view of God, plays a big part in how much we'll trust him. And I feel like a lot of times I find myself, I go to prayer about something, maybe something that I've prayed about for a really long time, and I go in there and I'm just hoping that it'll be answered. Like, I'm not going in prayer with authority. I'm not going in with the understanding and the grasp of how powerful God is, who he truly is, what his word says he is, and what he will do for me, or any of us. So I feel like we get caught up in, because sometimes we miss the small things because we're looking for something huge to happen in our life. So there can be prayers that we pray in faith, and God does those things, that he answers those things, but we miss those because we're always looking for something bigger in our prayer, if that makes sense. And then I thought it was really cool too that it tells us that Jesus marveled and told those that were with him that he had found not such great faith, and not even in Israel. And again, I said that a while ago. So if he said that he was, that if he was marveled by it, then that's a key for us. So obviously we need to be having great faith, right? All right, so how does this story apply to our lives? I believe that having the same level of faith that the centurion man did, it moved the heart of God in this story, right? Because when he come to Jesus, and from what I was studying too, because he was a centurion was a Roman military officer who had about 100 soldiers under him, and that it wasn't common for them to really to speak to the Jews, or, you know, because of the setting and how, I mean, they were just kind of rough. And so it was really cool when I was studying this how, you know, it pointed that out, but he was not hesitant at all to go talk to Jesus. And I just believe that if we have that same level of faith, that it's going to move the heart of God, and then we're going to begin to see the miraculous take place, and God, we're going to be able to see impossible things take place. Things that we think that maybe that we prayed for a really long time. And honestly, when God, things aren't answered, it's not God's fault that it's not answered. Sometimes it's just simply about the timing. Sometimes it's just about growing us and our faith growing and trusting God. So I have 5 ways that I have put up here, come up with, of ways that you can increase your faith that I feel like would help you increase your faith. Number 1 is fill your mind with the word of God. So, and with that, I put a scripture with each one of these. That's Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's super important for us to get into the word of God, to know what the word of God says, because if we don't know what the word of God says, then how can we have faith in something that we don't know anything about? If we don't know about him, then we're not going to trust him. Because when I met Jeff, when I first met him, I didn't know him. You know, I didn't just automatically trust who he said he was or what he said he would do. I had to build a relationship. So that's my number 2, having a relationship with God. So you have to begin to build that relationship, because in the process of building a relationship, what comes along with that? Trust. You begin to trust. So if we don't have a relationship with God, then we're not going to be able to have faith and trust that he'll do what he says he will, right? All right, and then, and with that one, I had Jeremiah 29 for number 2 point. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13. When you call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me, you when you search for me with all of your heart. All right, and then number three, abandon your will and receive his. So I have Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 on this one. And I have, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. And I have learned that if I will not do things my way, it works out a lot better. Because I have a personality of, I want to fix everything. If something ain't going good, or somebody's uncomfortable, somebody's hungry, somebody's mad, I'm just always like, okay, let me go over here, let me try to fix this. And I've learned that that's really just not reality. That puts a lot of extra stress and a lot of added things to your life that you don't need, when really I need to be praying for those people and taking that to the Lord, because he's the only one that can fix those issues. Not saying that we're not responsible for some of the things we do, we are, but I'm just saying, if your personality, some of us have a personality of fixing and, you know, trying to take care of issues and trying to take care of things. So if you have that, a lot of times you take that on into your personal life too, because you feel like that you can take on all these things, and until you realize that you have to give it to the Lord and trust him, then things don't change. All right. And then number four and five, I'm going to throw those together. Embrace challenges and break your routine. So the scripture I have for that is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And with that, by embracing challenges, I get out of your comfort zone. Because when we're not comfortable, then we're having to trust the Lord. As I am today. Like when I come up here, this is not comfortable for me. But that's okay, because God is doing this to grow me, and to build my faith and my trust in him, and knowing that I can do anything with him. As long as I put my faith in him and I trust him, then he's going to do the rest. I just have to take that step of faith and trusting him and believing that he will. And what I mean by breaking your routine is, mix things up a little bit. Don't just get mundane. Just, you know, change up things that way, that you do have to trust the Lord more. Because if we're in a routine every single day, we do the same thing all day, every day, we're comfortable, and we don't feel like we really have to trust the Lord as much, because it's not comfortable to have to do that. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing to break your routine, because I believe that all these things, these five things, will help build your faith and build your trust in God. And then I have 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm going to start closing. It was short but sweet. But I just want to say that I know, just encountering people in this room tonight, that we all have things that we're going through. We're all walking through different walks of life. Some know what you're going through, some don't. But I want to encourage you in letting you know that God is God. That he is bigger than every giant that we face. Anything that's going on in our life, that God is faithful and you can trust him. And if you are putting a petition before the Lord, don't give up on it. Don't just be like, man, this has been going on for 6 months and I'm not seeing anything happen. Don't do that. Continue to trust the Lord, because we have to pray without ceasing. That's what we're talking about in Arrows right now. They're learning their memory verse. But I feel like that is something that we need to remember too, that we got to pray without ceasing. We've got to believe and know that God will do what he says he's going to do. And so I just want to encourage you with that. And I don't know what everybody's picture looks like. I know that our family, that, you know, we're having to trust God in some situations. There's some things that's been going on that they're not easy. But he didn't say it would always be easy. But he said that he would always be there. So if we would trust him and just have that faith. So I hope that this made sense. And I thank you guys for having me and bearing with me through this tonight. I appreciate y'all, and I love each one of you. And I will turn it back over to Pastor Spencer.
Amen. I just want to echo a few things that Pastor Crystal said, and I want to say thank you so much for walking by faith and not by sight, because I know it's scary, and it's easy to sit out there and think, oh, it can't be that hard. You do it sometimes. It's really not as easy as you think it is to stand up here and talk, and
and not get out of breath and not stumble over your words. And she, Pastor Crystal, did an incredible job. But some things came to my mind when I was just thinking about faith and how, you know, she used the scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, how faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And that word substance is actually a word that we've been talking about a lot on Sunday mornings, because in Colossians chapter 2, where Paul says, these things are the shadow, but the substance is of Christ. And so think about this. Substance is, it gives you something to hold on to. And that's one thing that I think is so beautiful about faith, is faith gives me something to cling to when life is doing its worst. Because there's been so many times in my life that something doesn't go my way, somebody doesn't respond the way that I want them to, something breaks down, someone is causing frustration or anger or difficulty or just bad things happen. And I can always trust that I can cling to faith. Why? Because I know that God is faithful. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy, when we're faithless, he remains faithful. Now, there's a couple ways to look at that. Faithless, you could say, well, you know, that means that when we don't have any faith. I don't think that that's what that scripture is saying, because to each man has been given a measure of faith. So everybody has faith, okay? When we are faithless, what that means to me is this. When I have less faith, or I'm operating in less faith than I should be, he's still faithful. And so I can trust him, even when my faith is struggling, even when I am not trusting at the level that I should be trusting him, and I'm not filling my mind with the word of God. And listen, that is one of the biggest reasons that we lack faith in our life, because God's given you faith. But the thing is that sometimes it's just like if I were to give you, in fact, if I were to give you like a dollar, right? And you may say, well, that's not a lot of money, but there's this guy that was on YouTube. His name's Ryan Trahan, and he literally took a penny. Some of you guys may have seen this. And he took that penny, and he just like traded it and traded it and traded it. And it doesn't seem like a lot in the moment, but faith, Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be thou removed, and it will cast itself into the sea. But see, and if I gave you something and you lost it, it still technically belongs to you. You just don't know where it is. It may be in your house. You put it somewhere. You put it on a shelf. You forgot about it. We've got a drunk drawer and did I say drunk? We don't have a drunk drawer. We have a junk drawer. I put junk and drawer together. We got a drunk drawer and I can't never find nothing in the drunk drawer. No. The junk drawer, my wife literally jumped out of her seat. Funny story, my grandfather was a pastor, and he got up in front of the whole church one Sunday morning with full intention to confess the sin that God had convicted him of being a workaholic, and he revealed to the whole church that he was an alcoholic. And my grandmother literally almost died on the front row. Like they had, because he's never drank alcohol in his life. He's a workaholic. We have a junk drawer at our house, and I swear that if you put anything in there, you will never find it again. Like it's not coming back. You guys, everybody has one of those, right? It doesn't matter how clean your house is. Everyone has a junk drawer. Some people have a drunk drawer. We do not. We have a junk drawer. But God has given you faith. But here's the thing. That faith that he gave you, he will never take away from you. Because the giftings and the callings of God are irrevocable. They're without repentance. He's given you that gift of faith. But it's our job to foster that faith, to watch over it, to use it, to exercise that faith, to grow that faith. And these five things that Pastor Crystal said, filling your mind with the word of God, that as you read, that's why I think it's so important, and you guys probably think I'm a broken record when I talk about reading the Bible, reading the Bible, reading the Bible, reading the Bible. Why? Because it increases your faith. It strengthens your faith. And you know what else it does? It emphasizes what you already believe. And it brings you into this place of like, oh, it reminds you of how good God is. And then to having a real relationship with God. So many people are trying to walk this, what we call a Christian faith, out without having any kind of real relationship with God, because they're caught up with the shadow and they forget that they can cling to the substance. And so having a relationship with God, abandoning your will and receiving his. Let me just state something in that. You cannot receive his will until you abandon yours. You see, here's the problem with so many people. is they hear Pastor Crystal's point, abandon your will and receive his, and all they think about is God's will. But do you realize that in order to really lay hold of God's will, you have to first let go of your own? It's like monkey bars. You'll never get to the end unless you let go of the first one that you grabbed hold of. You'll get stuck. And so many people, they want to hold on to their will and God's will. Why? Because they've been told their whole life, God's will is good. He's a good God. He's faithful. He'll bless you. He'll protect you. He'll take care of you. But we still want what's best for us. You guys ever heard about how they used to catch monkeys back in the day? They'd take a coconut, they'd drill a hole in it, they'd put a pebble or a rock or something in there that, the monkey would want. They would put their hand in that coconut that was chained to a tree or something, and they would grab that pebble, and when they could fit their hand in with nothing in it, but once they grabbed it, they couldn't get their hand back out. And they refused to let go of it, and so they would get captured. So many times, we get stuck to the things that we think are holding us, but we're really holding them. And so I encourage you tonight, abandon your will so that you can receive the will of God. Embrace challenges. So many times we want to think that challenges means God doesn't love us or God isn't watching out for us. That couldn't be farther from the truth, because God is 1,000% of the time caring for you, loving for you, watching out for you. But just like he told the disciples, he said, get in the boat and go to the other side, knowing full well there was a storm waiting on them in the middle of the sea. But there was something he wanted them to learn in the sea. He wanted their faith to be strengthened, because they were dealing with doubt. They were dealing with worry. And so embrace challenges. Don't shy away from challenges, because we're not of those who shrink back to perdition. We're those who believe to the saving of the soul. So when you see a challenge, realize I'm fully equipped and ready to overcome this challenge. I'm going to adapt and I'm going to overcome. And then break your routine. I love that, because I think sometimes the reason that we stop clinging to faith and we stop really loving God and we stop really operating in faith is because we just get so caught in this, the traditions, the schedules. But some, maybe just set like a random alarm on your phone that just says, talk to God or read the word. Do you want to say, well, how do I break up my routine? Find one of these other first three. Fill your mind with the word of God. Have a relationship with God. Abandon your will and receive his. Set a reminder on your phone for like 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. And you'll probably totally forget about it if you're like me, until your phone reminds you and you'll go, oh, wait, I'm going to take time right now at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to read the word of God. That's breaking up your routine. It doesn't have to be something drastic, but just stop and go, okay, I'm breaking up my routine. Why? Because I want to fill my life with faith. Because the Bible says we're not called to walk by sight. So if we're not walking by faith, we're not walking the way that God prescribed and ordained and destined for us to walk. That's why he gave faith to everybody. Why? Because he wants everybody to use it. He wants everybody to walk in it. Why? Because there's power in faith. Amen? Stand to your feet with me tonight. Can we show our appreciation to Pastor Crystal one more time tonight? I'm going to ask if you would just close your eyes. There was a time in Jesus' life where a man came to him and he said he wanted his child to be healed. Jesus said, if you'll just believe, your child will be well. You know what this gentleman said? Lord, I do believe, but I need you to help my unbelief. I'm telling you, you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't believe. But sometimes that unbelief is outweighing that belief. Sometimes the doubt is stronger than the faith. Sometimes the insecurity is greater than the confidence that God has put inside of you. And so you need to reach out to God tonight and say, God, would you help my unbelief? Would you minimize that thing that is pulling me away from who you've called me to be and what you've called me to do? God, right now I abandon my will so that I can grasp your will. You know, there's only two things. Pastor Crystal read one of them earlier that caused Jesus to marvel. It says he marveled at his belief. You know, the other time Jesus marveled was at unbelief. Those are the only two things that ever caught Jesus by surprise and made him step back and wonder for a moment. Let's not be people that cause Jesus to marvel at unbelief, but let's be people that he looks down at his children from heaven and he's marveling in the fact that we take him at his word. And we step out and we trust him in faith. And listen, faith is not just acting stupid and expecting God to bless it. It's hearing God and taking him at his word. Just like Abraham, where God showed up and he said, get out from your country, away from your people, to a land that I will show you. And Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he's called the father of our faith. Why? Because he took God at his word, even when it sounded crazy. So God, we just say tonight, no matter what you say, no matter where you lead us, what you call us to, we know that you will call us not just to it, but you'll lead us through it. And so, God, we trust you tonight. We say that we put our faith inside of you, that hope, that confidence, that trust, that unwavering belief that says, I know that my God is faithful. And come hell or high water, no matter what comes my way, if it's high winds, if it's difficulty, if it's a financial crisis, if it's a relational issue, God, we know that you will be faithful and you will be sure and you will be true in the midst of every single bit of it. So we just say we trust you tonight and we love you and we thank you for the faith that you put inside of us and help us to foster it and to grow it and to exercise it and to mix faith with the word of God, the word that was spoken to us tonight, the logos and the rhema word that you wrote down in the word that you speak into our life. God, we believe that you are faithful time and time again. And the only reason we can be faithful is because you're faithful. And God, when we're faithless and we are operating at less faith than we should be, I pray that you would help us to tap into the faith that comes from you. And we don't think about this a lot, but because love gets all the attention because it is the greatest. But 1 Corinthians 13 says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. They don't leave. They don't dry up. They don't run out. And Father, we thank you that faith, even if it's just a little mustard seed, it's enough when we put it in the right place. And God, we choose to put our faith in you. You know, I think sometimes people think, well, I just don't know how to use my faith. Everyone's putting their faith in something. Some people are putting it in a politician. Some people are putting it in the American dollar. Some people are putting it in some kind of scheme or plan or another person. But God, tonight we choose to put our faith inside of you because you will never let us down. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you walk in the faith that comes from God. And I declare tonight, as Pastor Crystal said, faith is a game changer. Just like when certain people are on the court in basketball or on the field in football, or certain people are on the job site, it's a game changer. Things begin to work that didn't used to work. Things begin to accelerate. Father, I thank you that when we put our faith in you, it's a game changer. Things begin to change, just as it says of that man in Matthew chapter 8, that very hour. And I pray right now that as we put our faith in you this very hour, immediately you would go to work and you would do what we cannot do in and of ourselves. Because you are strong and you are powerful and you are great and we trust you. And I speak a blessing over you and your family tonight. May you walk in faith every step that you take, not by sight, but by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. It's so wonderful to see you. Don't forget to sign up for that stuff at the Welcome Center if you want to sign up for Supper at the Well or Strong Men. Love y'all.